going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's going on, everyone? Jody Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Monday morning. Well, start of another week, and obviously coming off, honest to God, it had to be about as active a sports weekend as I can remember in a long time. I mean, from the NFL draft, from the Eagles standpoint, to Shedeur Sanders, to you know NBA and NHL playoffs, obviously going on. Phillies, they went 2-3 in Chicago, which was really good to see. I mean, we need it. One of those series as a fan base to just feel a little more settled down. Now, how settled down, I don't know. We'll find out. But obviously, a better weekend by the Phils. Look, we're going to get into all of it with you and certainly do it today on the phone lines with you at 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello there, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Scientists have found that the thickened back of a single-edged razor blade, which is scary, can be dissolved by the human body's stomach acid.
Wow.
Which is very impressive. The thickened back
of a razor blade can
dissolve with our stomach acid, which the pH of our stomach acid is 1 or 2, which is pretty intense.
I'm not going to try, though.
No.
I'm not going to. Nor are we encouraging anyone to try.
Don't go thinking it's okay.
No, don't go thinking that. What we are going to encourage you to do is react to the weekend. I mean, there are 10,000 different things you can weigh in on. So phone line's obviously wide open for you right now, start of the show. Hop aboard 215-592-9494. From the Eagles selections and how you view what Howie did, to the Shedeur Sanders situation, what you think of the NFL and Shedeur Sanders and that whole thing, to everything else, including the Phils. It's all on the table, 215-592-9494. John, the draft. Bunch of guys. Look, we go through this every year. It's a bunch of players to a large extent we haven't heard of.
Yeah.
Obviously, we knew the first round pick. We knew the prep quarterback that went, played at Ohio State, and then Syracuse, Kyle McCord. For the most part, too many, many guys you really don't know much about. They walk away with 10 picks. They do not walk away with many early round selections. They load it up in the 5th and 6th round. Do you have a sense of this draft from a Howie standpoint, and what do you make of it, John? Because I had a couple of people complaining to me, like, oh, this is so boring. One of my brothers is like, what the heck? I thought we were going to have some picks earlier. And all these picks rolled in next year. They got all these other picks next year. What do you make of what went on from an Eagles standpoint
Sounds
the last
like
couple of
your brother
picks?
Might just want something to complain about.
Maybe.
My overall impression is Howie's no longer being seduced by the numbers generated at the combine by the how high can the guy jump in the vertical leap and how far does he broad jump in the standing broad jump. That stuff, while that is exciting, I mean, knowing a guy can run a 4.29 in the 40 electronic, if he's your cornerback, it does give you a sense of, I don't know, added security that he's going to be able to hold up against the speed that the NFL generates. But Howie's no longer being seduced by the measurables. And the standing broad jump at Lucas Oil you know, that no longer seems to matter. And our last pick in this year's draft, you know, the sixth rounder, Antoine Powell-Ryland, you look at him play, he's a gamer. Like, he was third in the FBS in sacks, 16 sacks, even though he missed their bowl game.
Yep.
Just production, period. Does not have the measurables. I mean, like, in any way. Not extremely fast. He's, you know, 6'3", 258, sort of in between size-wise. And just a guy who can play football. And you appreciate that. A guy who, it looks like when you watch him play on tape, he loves playing football. That's the kind of stuff that matters. And I do think, like, how about, I don't even know how to say the first name properly.
Schmeel? Yeah, I don't know.
Schmeel,
I don't know. I really don't, man.
I mean,
we're gonna play his phone call with Howie Rose. I think we got that phone call with Howie and him. We'll get to that.
Munden? Should I just say Mondin Jr.?
I mean, it's a hard one to even take on. I'll tell you this.
He makes plays all over the place.
Yeah.
And you know, he's small. And, you know,
well, so
I'm
is
not
the safety. I like the way that safety. I mean, the clips of
in
him,
between
Makuba in the second round.
Well, that's the thing.
To
he's
me, he
looks
exciting.
Or safety.
Yeah.
Makuba is linebacker or safety. You've got Jihad Campbell, who is inside off-ball linebacker or edge rusher. Zach Bond, inside linebacker or edge rusher. You're blurring a lot of lines. And man, once upon a time, I can tell you from an offensive player's perspective, when the New England Patriots would blur those lines and make all their defensive ends and their linebackers wear random, you know, 50 or 90, you couldn't tell that the 6'3", 275 guy was a defensive end who's supposed to put his hand down on the ground, or a edge linebacker who might be putting his hand down on the ground, depending on the look. It got so confusing, and Bill Belichick and company, they took full advantage of the confusion in offenses, and that generated sacks, that generated wins for that team. I think another huge factor you take away from this draft, lots of picks. Props to the guy who went to Michigan and Stanford. That's good thinking. Good thinking on that one. But, you know, you got a couple projects, you know, like the Michigan-Stanford guy, offensive line project guys for the greatest individual offensive line, you know, position coach going. And how he picked players and did not unpick Dallas Goedert. He did not unpick Dallas Goedert in this draft.
Yeah.
That's a huge deal.
It's a
Dallas
big one.
Goedert makes us so much better. He, I think, is going to be on our team.
So, all right, there's a lot to react to, and you can do it all at 215-592-9494. Let me give you my three headlines, and then I do want to get to the Shedeur Sanders situation. That was a wild development all weekend on a lot of fronts. So there's a lot to get to today. Let me give you my three headlines from an Eagle standpoint with this draft as I perceive it. And by the way, this is admitting you never know, you know, which guy later in the draft is going to rise up and be a great player, if anyone does. I mean, a lot of times no one is a great player. Sometimes you have a situation like Josh Sweat, who almost won MVP of the Super Bowl, who was, you know, a little bit later in the draft. Sometimes you get a Jason Kelce. Sometimes you get a Wilbur Montgomery. But you never know. Like, in a moment like this, how the hell do any of us know if one of these six rounders is going to turn into the next Kelce?
Well, the thing that's cool,
no ability to know that.
The thing that's cool is it felt like when I went back and did the research on these picks, the projected, man, I'm telling you, like, projected round,
right?
It was always a couple rounds earlier than when the Eagles ended up taking
which
them.
Is probably why the Eagles got high grades. I don't want to say across the board, because I didn't see every single draft analyst breakdown. The ones I saw, Mel Kiper, ESPN.com with Tim McManus, Eagles got big grades.
Yes. I mean,
Eagles got high, you know, A's and A minuses from a lot of the people that observe the draft in a hardcore way and then review it.
They did a good job in terms of value, getting the right guys at the right time.
And they certainly picked, other than tight end, and we'll get to that in a second, many of the positions you'd expect that they would want to get, they got. Now, let me give you my three headlines. Headline number one, and this one is a to-be-determined, but we're hearing more people say it, Jihad Campbell is an edge rusher instead of an inside linebacker. Now, this goes completely contrary to on Friday when John and I started the show and for the first couple hours how we perceived it. Because obviously, you know, he had played inside linebacker at near the end of his tenure with Alabama. And so we had the assumption that this was a N'Kobe Dean replacement and not an edge rusher guy. And we were about two-thirds of the way through our show on Friday, and Elliot, when he was on with us, was like, hold on a second. You guys are misreading this. This guy's an edge rusher who, with his versatility to play inside, can, to the point John brought up earlier, create some confusion for defenses and mismatches and all that sort of stuff, and it's a chess piece for Vic Fangio. But Elliot was very clear, this is an edge rusher who can play inside, not an inside guy who can play edge. So that's like the single most important thing from this draft, as I perceive it right now, is that really how they'll use him on the edge? And then if so, what does that mean about N'Kobe? Hopefully he's coming along better than we, you know, who knows? We don't know on the N'Kobe status. But that was an interesting development, you know, the first day of reaction. That was Friday. So that's number one. Number two, I thought the safety from Texas, I thought he looked, I think he looks like an exciting player. Now, let me be clear. I thought Davion Taylor 5 years ago looked like an exciting player.
He did look really exciting.
I mean, ESPN was showing that guy's highlights. I'm like, man, look at the way he strikes a guy.
Well, he looked really short, but he looked really explosive.
And this guy, you're saying Taylor or this dude?
Well, I'm talking Taylor? 5 years
ago.
Yeah,
no, I agree. Because this guy also looks small. I mean, you can tell he's small. It's obvious. I mean, you could just see with the highlights that the safety from Texas, Mukuba, is, you know, not exactly Ronnie Lott. He's smaller, way smaller. But he does look like someone who can strike, and he does look like someone.
He's probably about the same size. I wonder what Ronnie Lott's size was.
Well, Ronnie Lott had very big shoulders and packed a punch. But look, this guy packs a punch. So bottom line is this guy a starter or not? My guess is they want him to be year one. Remember, Brian Dawkins, second-round safety, started year one. This team could use this Mukuba guy to start year one, we'll see. Third headline. John touched on it. It is.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's not an insignificant reality. No tight end drafted by the Eagles. What does that mean? Well, it certainly means Dallas Goedert has more leverage than he would have had if the Eagles had taken a tight end in the first or second round. For sure, for sure. And I find it pretty surprising that with 10 selections, none of them were tight ends. So listen, maybe this Goedert thing's going to work out. You know, I mean, we're going to play the audio coming up shortly here of what Howie said in one of the press conferences over the weekend about Goedert. I mean, he didn't really change his tune. You know, but the reality is that a lot of people, and John, I know you're one of them, don't want Calcaterra to be a starter. I am struck by the fact they were still playing at a high clip when Calcaterra was out there. But I'm also, you know, with common sense, I know Goddard's better. I really hope it can work out because, man, I'm a big Goedert fan. He's been a heck of an Eagle. But they have been at an impasse. And we don't know that impasse gets fixed just because they didn't take a tight end. I was shocked, John. Not shocked that they didn't get a tight end in rounds one or two. We knew that was certainly possible with what they wanted to do defensively. But, I mean, if you said to me on Thursday morning, Joe, what are the chances they make 10 picks and none of them are tight ends?
Yeah.
I would have told you less than 2%. I mean, I was really surprised by that.
Well, here's the thing. I was very surprised also. I expected some safety net, so to speak.
Yeah.
But then I look at the roster. Man, the extended offseason roster. We've got a lot of tight ends that none of us know much about. Kylan Granson, Harrison Bryant, Nick Muse, EJ Jenkins we know a little bit more about. Cameron Latu. These are players who have been around this league for a little bit. A few guys from San Francisco. Guy from the Las Vegas Raiders. Guy from the Indianapolis Colts. Guys who, you know, know how to play, and I have no idea how good they are.
Right, exactly. All right, look, all of it on the table for you. 215-592-9494. Phone calls up ahead. Also, the Shador Sanders situation, we're getting to that. Seltzer's out today. Rhea's out today. We got Devin in, Fran in for Seltzer. He got held up in a plane situation. Not held up. It's the wrong way to put it. His plane got delayed. He didn't make it back. And no stick up. All right, Seltzer's fine. But he'll be back tomorrow. Ray's back, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday, something like that. All right, phone calls on all these topics. 215-592-9494. What do you make of what Howie did and what Howie did not do with the NFL draft? Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP.
FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is the best place to find all your favorite player props. And now you can make a heads-up play with player performance trends. That means whether you want to bet on a player to score 30 points or put up a triple-double, you can check out the latest stats and see who's hot without leaving the app. Plus, after the game tips off, you can even combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. Just go to FanDuel.com/JohnR today, J-O-N-R. If you don't already have FanDuel, playoff time is the perfect time to join. You'll get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So just visit FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. That's FanDuel Sports Fan. FanDuel.com/JohnR to win big today. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 94 WIP.
Well, an absolutely bonkers weekend of sports. I mean, there was just more stuff going on than I can remember any weekend in a long time. Obviously, NFL Draft was the headliner, and your chance to react to what Howie did. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494, after a very busy weekend. Steve in Egg Harbor Township kicks us off. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I'll tell you what. The one thing I love with Howie's doing is, if you notice, it's a debacle of the Rager pick. And then he picked Jalen Hurts in that round. He's been doing nothing but hitting home runs. And he's been drafting out of the SEC and the Big Ten predominantly, which 35% of NFL players come from. And if you notice, in the last, I don't know, what, 10 years, all the national championship teams are coming from them conferences. So, I mean, he's drafting championship-type players who've been through the ringer of going to the college championship game and playoffs. And to me, that's a big deal. And I really love this third round pick from Nebraska. It looks like an absolute beast, 300-pound defensive guy.
Yeah.
And I think this guy is going to be absolutely huge for us.
Well, I'm excited about the physicality of Ty Warren. Wait, is that
Ty Warren's the tight end from Penn State.
Ty Robinson.
Ty Robinson. Yeah. My bad. We don't have Ty Warren. Ty Robinson, D tackle at 6'6", sometimes can work against you, but when you got the ability to bend and be an athlete and explode, sometimes that's a real nice thing to have because long arms come with that. You can bench press people off of you and you know, create some separation in the trenches, and man, just can run. You, a guy that big, you know, 6'6", 290 pounds, and runs a 4.8 and a 40. I know I shouldn't be fixating on the numbers.
Well, it's a factor.
I should be more focused on the play.
They say he's strong,
but they go together.
They do.
Because he plays fast. So I love that. Like, it's a real warning sign when you got a guy who's big like he is, runs a great time in the 40, but then you don't see the production, you don't see the explosion on tape. That part of what I really feel excited about is, man, Howie and the rest of the scouting department, they're going for the guys who look great on tape, the guys who play great football. And that's what Ty Robinson does.
And come from the championship conferences, too, which is the biggest thing for
me. No question about it. All right, Steve, good call, buddy. Appreciate it. 215-592-9494. The Shador Sanders situation, we'll get to that coming up in 1 minute. Hey, let me tell you about PI Dental Center. With their decades of experience in complex dental treatment, of which I now have been a patient for 2 decades. My mom, a patient there for 3 decades. With Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both board-certified prosthodontists, both phenomenal with what they do. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. PI Dental Center are also the originators of the Teeth in a Day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere one day. If you're struggling with your teeth, major pain, perhaps part of your life, that's no good. Or maybe it's a self-esteem issue. I know, you know, Dr. Wolfinger's told me that a lot of people go just because they don't like the way they look and they want to look differently. And that, you know, leads to the restoration. Just know you can do that also. No matter what your reason is to get in there, PI Dental Center can help you. Originators of the Teeth in a Day, a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere one day. Get yourself to PI Dental Center. They're located in Fort Washington. Start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. Well, you know, we had something very unique this weekend with the NFL draft, which was one situation that was so prominent that it just far and away became the most discussed sports thing in America for 3 days. And it's the Shedeur Sanders situation. I mean, in many ways, it was, and I know it was coupled with the draft, but it was almost like bigger than the draft. Like, it became like a referendum in a lot of ways from a lot of angles as people were discussing all sorts of issues. John, first crack at it. Shedeur Sanders, what do you make of it? What's your reaction to everything that transpired?
I watched him become a sympathetic figure. I did not expect that. I genuinely feel for him and for his dad, and I don't I don't understand what happened.
I'll say exactly what happened. The league found him to be arrogant and would have made him a first-round pick if they thought he was good enough to justify that. And remember, there's only a couple teams that flat-out needed a quarterback, like starting quarterback, only a couple. And I think the reality is once you get past the teams that need a starting quarterback, and some of them picked other quarterbacks, including in the second round, then you can slide.
The
because
Cleveland Browns selected a quarterback in the third round.
Yeah, exactly.
This year.
Yeah. And
the Cleveland Browns, Dylan Gabriel from Oregon most recently, is a higher draft pick on that team. Think about that.
I think that
Shedeur Sanders, the guy who we were expecting, a lot of people, Mel Kiper, was expecting could be the first quarterback taken.
Look, I think the league spoke volumes about two different things. One, they don't think he's that good, because if they did, they would have taken him in the first round and in the top 10. I mean, we've seen plenty of guys with any number of issues, including Jalen Carter, as for instance, 2 years ago, who went in the top 10 after him being involved in a situation where someone died. If they think you're that good, they'll go there. So number one, they don't think he's that good. Number two is, you know, a lot of times then you can tumble because do you want to bring in someone who's perceived as arrogant as a backup? That's a tricky thing. Like here's to me the classic example. I was always struck. Terrell Owens went from being starter guy to somewhat declining to out of the league. Why? Because Terrell Owens could have played another 3 or 4 years. Of course he could have played another 3 or 4 years. What did head coaches not want? They didn't want Terrell Owens as their fourth receiver. Even though he could be one of their top four receivers, you don't want a fourth receiver who is perceived as being a pain in the ass. You don't. And what the NFL's telling you is they thought Shedeur Sanders was arrogant, and obviously some of what he said and some of what his dad said was arrogant. Now, with that said, I hope the guy climbs out of this and has a great career. We'll find out if he can. I mean, he actually ended up in a situation with a team that certainly has not settled down in their future for quarterback. So, and the irony is he actually may have gotten there in such an unconventional way. I would think that Deion Sanders, when he talked about having a list of teams he would not allow his son to play for, Cleveland was probably on that list. But when you get picked in the fifth round and that's the first team and the only team that chooses you, then I guess Cleveland should be embraced by the Sanders family. That's how I perceive the situation.
Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco.
It's wide open. Wide open.
Yeah, they have like 15 quarterbacks on the roster
and then
now.
Dylan Gabriel, their third round draft pick, is there in front of Shedeur also. Yeah. Deshaun Watson, who knows?
Yeah. But there's no one that you'd say 3 years from now, you know, this guy is definitely the quarterback. There's no one, you know, so he's got, he actually ironically has a situation that he's got a shot to go compete and over a year or two try to be the starting quarterback. Devin, what did you make of And we haven't even gotten to the prank phone call thing, which was a disgrace.
Oh, my gosh. So horrible.
An absolute disgrace.
Yeah.
And from that standpoint, John, that is part of where Sanders became sympathetic, part of it. The tumble was another part of where it became sympathetic. What did you make, Devin, of the twists and turns of Shador Sanders?
Yeah, I mean, kind of to what Richie said when we had our show on Friday and he wasn't taken in the first round, I kind of got it because, you know, clearly these teams were not seeing something in Shador, and he comes with baggage, and that might not necessarily be his fault, but, you know, wherever Shador Sanders is going to go, there's going to be a lot of media and press and focus on him, whether he's a backup quarterback or not. And I think that has to, you know, play into a team's decision. But then by the second day when he kept falling and the prank phone call happened, I felt awful.
Horrible.
And it was just so confusing. And then I thought the Eagles might get him. And I was like, oh no, oh gosh, this is going to be all we're going to talk about on WIP for weeks and weeks and weeks. I think that he could be a good fit in Cleveland because he comes with a circus of, you know, visibility and media and questions. And I think a team that's already pretty high profile and a popular team like the Eagles doesn't need someone like that, where someone, or a team like Cleveland, you know, where you have Deshaun Watson as the face of your franchise, and clearly that's not working out. I think he could actually be a good thing for the Browns.
Yeah,
so
I
think it worked out.
In net, look, he loses money from the standpoint if he's not a first-round paid guy,
fifth-round. I think he'll be okay.
He'll be fine there. I mean, he's going to, you know, have his dad's got plenty of money and all that. But I think he, ironically, landed in a spot that's pretty good for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, he can't, this is my opinion, can't disassociate himself with his own and his father's own role in the tumble. I mean, he had his dad as his agent. You know, like, his dad's talking about he won't allow him to play for certain teams. Shador Sanders said in recent weeks that if you want to get me, you better be prepared to change the culture of your team.
And I think that really hurt him.
Well, think about the Eagles.
Yeah.
Why would the – now, maybe the Cleveland Browns need to change their culture, right?
Exactly.
Why would the Philadelphia Eagles, with Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni and Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman – and Jordan Mulata and Landon Dickerson and Lane Johnson and, like, all these guys that are, like, pros, why would the Philadelphia Eagles need to change their culture? So statements like that, he did himself such a disservice. And for, you know, 48 hours, he was going through the ringer in part because of it. All right, look, you can react to it. What do you make of it all? 215-592-9494. Other aspects of the weekend, including some of the phone calls that Howie made to the draft picks when the Eagles selected some of these guys. We'll play some of that audio for you coming up next. Phone calls on all of it as well, plus your chance to win a cool prize today, concert tickets, that and more. Eagles draft Shador Sanders. Phillies, we'll get to that. What a weekend. Jody Cameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP. All right, hope you're having a great start to your day. All right. I don't want to be that guy, but Devin, it's St. Joe's Prep.
Oh my
God. Or
the
Prep.
It's, seriously?
What did you call it? St. Joe's?
St. Joe's.
Just
St. Joe's.
One more prep.
I have to call it St. Joe's Prep.
Or the Prep. St. Joe's is like St. Joe's U. People hear St. Joe's and then they say, wait, what football player did Eagles draft from St. Joe's U? We get a LaSalle.
Okay.
Do we get a LaSalle college kid also? Like the actual college, not the high school? By the way, I got to rip Abdul Carter. I'm joking around, Devin. I got to rip Abdul Carter. Now, John, this is a tricky one for me. It's tricky. He's on one hand, local guy, good job. I mean, makes really good. Top five pick, the whole deal. Penn State, got to appreciate that. He did something this weekend. It's a no-no. And Abdul Carter's family, if you're listening, I'm sorry. And Abdul Carter, if you're listening, I'm sort of sorry, but not really because you're a Giant now. He asked Lawrence Taylor for his number. Can't do that. LT shot him down. I know Warren Moon gave a draft pick his number. First off, Warren Moon didn't play, what is it, the Houston Texans? No. Who is he? The Tennessee Titans. Well, anyway, I don't know if it was from the Houston Texans or the Tennessee Titans, but one of them, someone asked Warren Moon for number one, and he said yes. All right, good for Warren Moon. And Warren Moon's a great player and a legitimate Hall of Famer and all that. John, if you're Abdul Carter, you can't ask Lawrence Taylor for his number. It's a no-no. What's your opinion, John, of the L? That's a bold request. Greatest defensive player of all time. LT guy, let me get your number. I need a ruling, John.
That's pretty bold.
I don't understand the hang-up that you have with this. I mean, I do.
You're not good enough to get number one defensive player of all time number.
He just got drafted by the New York Giants.
I got to start ripping this guy because he's a Giant now. Got to rip him.
What happens when a new player comes to town and he plays the position of one of the greatest players?
You asked Tom Brookshire for his number. This is asking Lawrence Taylor for his number.
Was the guy who plays his position the guy who goes to New England going to answer Brady? I think that this is normal.
Some guy's going to play for the Oilers and ask Wayne Gretzky for 99? Is that where we're at? This is nonsense.
Maybe. I do think that it's normal to try to encourage the old and the new, like the former greats, mingle with the, new guys.
Too far.
I would not encourage LT to be hanging out with my new guys. You know, like, hey, new guy, here's how I did it back in the day.
Hey, all jokes aside, congrats to Abdul Carter. It's pretty cool. Now, we are going to have to find a way to start loathing the guy because he's going to play for the Giants. Abdul Carter
be really good.
And Micah Parsons coming after Jalen for a number of years, so we'll see where it goes. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's also get to the guided door and window to the weekend. There was an awful lot going on this weekend, obviously. I mean, to say the least. And brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay off interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA. You can visit goguida.com. Well, this weekend had a lot of everything. First off, one of the most wild buzzer beaters I've ever seen in NBA history in a Denver win. I have never, ever, ever seen it. If you missed it, Denver at the buzzer on Saturday. This was insanity. Basically, the guy's got the ball in his hands dunking it. And it's like, it is so simultaneous with going through. It was like in the basket, but not through the basket when the light went off to say game over. And I even thought maybe he was still touching the ball. Like the ball's in the basket, but it's not through the net. And so me and my buddies are watching it and we're like, well, I don't know what the rule is. Like, I don't know what, no, it counted. And my thought was it's probably going to count. But John, I never seen anything like it. Like the ball's in the basket, but it hasn't come through the net. Does that count or not? And I thought that the ball might have still been on the guy's hands.
Well, that's the thing. As long as it's off his hand.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that it was.
Well, that's
but you
the
can
only
have
thing
your you can,
I would be concerned
well, you
about.
Can have your hands on the ball in the basket.
That's true.
Because the basket comes down.
But that's not what he was doing.
It was really weird. Anyway, so that was wild. It was pretty entertaining NBA playoff weekend. Let's get to the Phils. And then right back to the phone line. So Philly's obviously the one, you know, bigger topic we haven't really touched on yet. Nice job by Aaron Nola last night. Really, really nice job. Bats didn't do a ton, but did enough. And, John, you know what? The Phillies got 2-3 in Chicago. And given the way we felt Friday, we would have taken that for sure.
Absolutely. Getting back into the groove, so to speak, even though it does not feel like we're really even
in a
close
groove.
To a groove. But we
Trey
went
Turner.
To overtime.
Trey!
Yeah, sure. Trey can do some stuff.
Some call that extra innings, but, you know.
Yeah, my bad.
Devin, extra innings. This guy, overtime.
Went to the 10th.
What is this nonsense?
10th inning. Look, it was. It did feel like that we fought. And that is
Jordan
a hallmark
Romano?
Of
yeah,
this
I know.
Team.
Coming through.
Romano making the quasi-athletic play. Kind of.
Was that athletic? What a great review.
I mean, he did knock it down and scramble and get that thing. And I felt so good for him that he didn't have to actually throw lots and lots of strikes at that point in time.
Like, well, one
thank
thing,
God we got away with the ball hitting him.
One thing I was thinking is, could you imagine if he blows this save?
When he went in.
Yeah, because I've watched it.
I was like,
I was imagining it as the ball pegged him.
I almost turned it off because I knew we had to wake up early today anyways. I'm like, I know how this story ends. I know. I've seen this film before.
Ye
but
of little faith.
My second thought was like, is this a test? I felt like maybe it was a test from Rob Thompson. Like, okay, let's see if he can do it. Let's put him in. Let's see if he can, you know, hold this lead and actually save the game.
Right.
And he did.
Well, he did. Look, part of it going to him, and I'm sure it wasn't Rob Thompson's preference, but part of it was you pitch a ton of guys on Saturdays, on Saturday, because Taiwan, you know, didn't last long.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, you had already used the main relievers you trust, right? They'd already used Alvarado, Kirkreen, and I'm forgetting which other reliever. But bottom line is they had used a lot of relievers over a couple days. So at some point, you got to put this guy in there. It's 10th innings, extra innings. Look, he did the job. So good for him. Good for Trey legging out that infield hit that obviously increased the lead from 2-1 to 3-1 in the 10th inning. If you missed that, really nice job by Trey busting it down the line. That made a difference. And the Phils went 2-3. So hopefully we can kind of settle down a little bit. Look, it's going to be a topsy-turvy year. There's no question, just from this standpoint. People are going to get in a bad mood quickly, even if the Phils make the playoffs, a bad mood quickly when the Phils lose 4-7. And they're going to have their stretches this year when they lose 4-7. What you don't want to see them do is what they did the last 2 weeks where they were losing, I don't know quite what it was, but it felt like, you know, it was a 2.5-week slump. All right. Phils on the table, Eagles as well, 215-592-9494. Let's get to Ed calling from Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, team. Wanted to mention two bands of misfit toys. The first one being Cleveland. I think there's no better way to say we're tanking for Arch Manning than looking at that quarterback room. I mean, there's – my goodness. So not a great situation to be in. And – but, you know, my main concern, obviously, or not obvious, but is the tight ends with the Eagles. I mean,
Yeah. You
got Grant Calcaterra and a bunch of dudes.
There are a bunch, Ed.
A whole lot of dudes.
Yeah. Kylan Granson, Harrison Bryant, Nick Muse, Cameron Latu, EJ Jenkins. Lots.
Yeah, so I think it's important to kind of tie, you know, my draft grades kind of is incomplete because they still need to do something with Goddard. We don't know who can really play outside of Jihad Campbell. Like, I need to see, like, Makufa in pads. Like, yeah, they kind of reached for him at 2, but he can supposedly cover better than CJ GJ. Like, I appreciate what Howie had to do from a value standpoint, but I just, and maybe it's a shows that I just don't know. I'm less dialed in this year than I was in years past, but in the years past, you had guys like Keely Ringo and N'Kobe Dean who were first-round talents that fell to us, and it was really exciting. This year, not so much. Maybe it's just because we're expecting excellence. It's kind of a weird feeling.
Well, also remember this, Ed. I mean, you know, they were picking last in every round with their own pick. Now, they had other picks in there, but, you know, that was part of it as well. I mean, you know, you're every round, you got the last pick. So, you know, it sets you back a bit. All right, Ed, good call, buddy. Appreciate it, as always. 215-592-9494. We ask you this Twitter poll question of the day today. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's selection of one-owner pre-owned pickup trucks and SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question, do you like what Howie did in rounds 2 through 7 this year? So, you know, we talked quite a bit on Friday about the first pick, obviously Jihad Campbell at 31. We're going to put rounds 2 through 7 on the board. The choices are yes or no. John, I'm going to be honest. I really thought about having choice C. Like, who the hell knows?
Do you think? Yeah,
right? Because let's be real. Who the heck knows?
There's a lot of players. We added a lot of players to our team,
yes.
A lot of young players. Do you think that people from the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants who now have their Abdul Carter and Micah Parsons,
yep.
Do you think they're now looking at us and saying, uh-oh, the Eagles have Jihad Campbell, and he's that all-around guy who can do it all?
Remember, Jihad Campbell. I think they say, oh, they got Jalen Carter. I think that's the uh-oh they think.
Yeah.
But maybe, I mean, we'll see, John. I mean,
that's the thing. I can't even get my head around that. I doubt the teams in our division are feeling that way, but it's possible. After this next season is all said and done, they're looking at it and saying, man, what a deal, Jihad Campbell. Yeah. Look at what he's doing. The Eagles are using him a lot like we are using Micah Parsons. You know, if it's the Dallas Cowboys or the Giants, hey, a lot like we're using Abdul Carter. We'll see.
To be fair, though,
we'll see what happens.
No, I agree with you, but as excited as we are on Jihad Campbell, let's not go too crazy. I mean, he was taken 31, not 3. You know,
true.
I mean,
but he was Abdul Carter, also, according to the Eagles, a top 10 player.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. And Micah Parsons is an example, and he was a top, 10 or so, but he wasn't top 5. And that felt
he was
like
13 or whatever.
Was he? So Devontae was 10? Because Eagles went from 6 to 12 to 10. Yeah, I think he was 11. I think was Parsons he? Was 11. By the way, let's also give you a chance today to win a pair of tickets, and we're going to give these away all week. A pair of tickets to see Elvis Costello. How about it? Elvis Costello. Right, John?
Elvis Costello is amazing.
It's a classic.
Amazing.
Elvis Costello and the Imposters with Charlie Sexton on September 19th. At Borgata in AC. For tickets, you can get yourself to Ticketmaster.com. That's the purchase tickets. Ticketmaster.com. You can also win them right here today by calling 215-592-9494 and giving us a great answer to this question. What was unbelievable? Why? Because the Shedeur Sanders thing had so many twists and turns this weekend, it was actually unbelievable. And we're going to play the audio of the prank call and the whole deal. It was an unbelievable weekend as it related to Shedeur Sanders and America taking it all in. Best answer ever provides something unbelievable. Best answer is going to win the Elvis Costello tickets. John Ritchie, what was unbelievable? And let me just say this. I'm thinking kind of in the ridiculous kind of way. Like the Shedeur Sanders, it's a circus kind of way. But I don't know. But listen, right. People can judge it as they want. Okay. John, what was unbelievable?
I got unbelievable. Remember May 25th, 1986. Maybe you don't. It was Hands Across America
Day. Oh, yeah.
Day.
Yeah.
May 25th, 1986, during Memorial Day weekend, I remember I was fifth grade, and we were, it was a huge deal. We went outside our entire school and we linked hands. And apparently, like, there was this chain that was going the whole way. It was going the whole way from one coast to the other coast.
I still find that hard to believe.
Well, apparently when it was all said and done, that's the fiasco of it all. Yeah. Like, it never did link into one.
Nice theory. Nice theory.
And the organizers tried to fill the gaps in with, like, chains and ribbons and stuff like that. It was an admirable attempt.
Sure.
And at the time, I thought it was the most unbelievable thing I'd ever experienced.
Hands Across America. Devin, what was unbelievable?
I'm going to keep it local with this one. The Colangelo burner gate with the 76ers.
absolutely
unbelievable situation.
That could have won.
Oh, man.
Burner gate absolutely could have won. We got Fran in for Seltzer today. Fran, what was unbelievable?
I think one of the most bizarre stories in sports history, Manti Te'o.
Mm. Boy, that's another one that could have won. That was unbelievable. Te'o doing sit-ups in his driveway. I mean, it was just like, what is going on here? Someone help me out.
I was in camp. I remember walking into our room after practice.
Yep.
It was Carell, Brian Westbrook,
sure,
and me, and we were just standing there looking at that. It was our teammate, and we were watching the sit-ups, and we're staring at each other, mouths agape. No words are spoken. We're just mouths wide open, staring.
That was, to say the least, unbelievable. Give us a great answer. Something unbelievable, like the Shedeur Sanders weekend. Hit us up, 215-592-9494. Coming up, what Elliot Shore Park said to us on Friday about how he thinks the Eagles will use Jahad Campbell. And it certainly was not what John and I initially thought. Phone calls on all these topics. Your chance to weigh in on the Phillies as well on 94 WIP.